face through the worst of times, through Nixon and through Bush. Do you remember 36? We went our separate ways. You fought for Stalin, I fought for freedom. You believe in authority, I believe in myself. I'm a Molotov cocktail, you don't parry. Yo, baby, what's that confused look in your eyes? What I'm trying to say is that I burn down buildings while you sit on a shelf inside of them. You call the cops on the looters and pie throwers. They call it class war, I call it co-conspirators. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone, all alone. You watched in awe at the red, white, and blue on the 4th of July. While those fireworks were exploding, I was burning, that swinging my black flag high, eating the peanuts that the parties have tossed you in the backseat of your father's new Ford. You believe in the ballot, you believe in reform, you have faith in the elephant and jackass. And to you, solidarity's a four-letter word, we're all hypocrites. But you're a patriot, you thought I was only joking when I screamed kill Whitey at the top of my lungs, at the cops in their cars and the men in their suits. No, I won't take your hand and marry the state. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone, all alone.
Hello and welcome to The Circled A. My name's Mr. G. You're listening to us on Resonance 104.4 FM. Fantastic. Tonight I'm going to be looking at Poison, Vagrancy, hearing some music from Ryan Harvey, looking at coming up strikes, and talking about a little pub I used to enjoy. But first off, we're going out onto the field to hear a special interview.
I'm talking to Andy Scott, the man charged with assaulting UKIP leader Nigel Farage when he recently visited Kent. There was a protest against Farage's appearance, with people holding placards with the words "nasty little man" because of UKIP's policies. Thank you for coming on, Andy.
Good morning, good to speak to you, or good evening, sorry.
Let's get your side of the story, shall we? What were the events of that day?
Right, the events of the day, we were told a few days in advance of Mr. Farage's visit to Margate. I'll just give you a quick background to the area I live in. We live in Margate in Kent, which is sort of at the back end of Kent, really. The area we live in got a lot of high unemployment and a high number of people that are claiming sort of sickness benefits and things like that. So, it's a fairly deprived area anyway. So there's a lot of local groups doing their own thing, basically. But there's a few of them that found out that Nigel was visiting Margate. So we sort of arranged through the local social networking sites. There was various protests arranged by various groups for when he actually turned up. So I went along mainly because I was quite upset about David Sylvester's comments about the weather, you know, in the country at the moment, somehow being related to the LGBT community. So I was quite outraged about that, and also the area where he went to do his speech is it's very multicultural. There's actually 44 different languages that are spoken within a mile of the hotel, so quite a few people are going because they're upset about their sort of xenophobic views as well. So that's the background of why I sort of went.
Okay. And why were you there generally protesting against UKIP? I mean, what do they represent to you?
They represent to me, they represent to me, I suppose, in a way, I like to think of them as the friendly face of fascism. they're very much equivalent to sort of the the American Tea Party, I suppose, is the sort of comparison I'd make. It just seems like all the, you know, the right wingers in the Tory Party in general just don't seem to think the Tory Party's right wing enough for them anymore, so they've all gone off to UKIP. But you know, it seems to get a very funny melting pot there. For instance, one of our local county councillors who got voted in the area last year is an ex-NF member. So, you know, there don't seem to be too many, you know, nice people about in UKIP at the moment.
Yeah, you're right. And what charges are you facing?
Obviously, I can't talk too much about the incident at the moment, but as a result, I was arrested and I was charged with a common assault on Mr. Farage.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
I just wanted to get my story across. Just you know, the way that UKIP conducted themselves on the day. You know, there's quite a few things that happened. Obviously, I can't talk about at the moment, but you know, I was quite concerned about what happened and how it happened and stuff like that. But I mean, that's something I'll be quite happy to talk to you about once the court case is been and gone, sort of thing.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I think we'll have you on once you can say more. Thank you so much for coming on.
That's all right. No problem. Thank you for having the time to speak to me.
And I wish you all the best with with the legal side of it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Cool. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye for now. Bye.
If there's more people like that down there, I think I'll be taking a trip down to Margate. All right, I want to talk to you about something. Been bugging me a while. It's about poison. Not the type with a skull and crossbones on it. Nah, it's far more subtle than that. Far more easily available as well. I first noticed it. It's in energy drinks. We all know what they are, these bright blue or orange, fluorescent, glow-in-the-dark drinks. So bright they're just there gleaming at night. Sugar, sugar, sugar and dye, sugar and coffee. It's okay if you want a rush and a buzz to help finish off a long day, but it's basically a joke. I mean, come on, Lucozade used to be a medicine. It was a medicine. We all know it didn't work, though. So they changed themselves into a sports drink. They stopped trying to sell it to us sceptical adults. We knew that it didn't work. Your nan would buy it for you when you had the flu. You still had the flu. It was the paracetamol, your immune system kicking in, that took it out, not the Lucozade. We all knew it wasn't working medicine. So they changed. The company evolved. They took it to the next level. They did what you have to do under capitalism. They survived. They aimed their product instead at children. Sugar, coffee, dye, this poison. They aimed it at children. We knew it wasn't medicine, so they took their sights again. Children don't need energy drinks. It's not necessary for them to have them. They're already full of beans and joy and energy running around. Their bodies are developing, and they're getting enough sugar from other places already. They're already buzzing. But Lucozade had to sell it onto them. People weren't buying it for medicine anymore, so they had to find someone else. So Lucozade went about hiring sports heroes. People like Gareth Bale, the Real Madrid striker. They got these scab sports stars. And I say scabs because they took cash and they sold on a lie. They lied to their own profession. They went out to other Olympic heroes, sports personalities and the various varieties that appeal to the youth. And they plastered all over the country the ultimate lie. These sweet, sweet poisons are, and I quote, better than water. Better than water. Of course, all these adverts were banned. Nearly instantaneously, actually. It's only like 2 or 3 weeks. Quite quick for Ofcom. I mean, they were outright lies. Of course they were banned. Better than water? But the damage had already been done. Millions of children heard the lie from their heroes. Football stars, Olympic stars, triathlon, everything going. And so they drink, they gulp, litres every single day. They say the same lie that was sold to them, better than water, as they gulp down another litre of poison. And it is poison. This sugar, coffee and dye, sold to children because no one else would buy it. All the adults had too much sense. We knew it was rubbish. It was sold on a lie. And what will that lie cost? Diabetes. Loss of sight. Limbs amputated. Death. And this death is being made right now, passed on to our children by our corporations. And what is this corporation going for? What is this death worth? Well, 16 billion a year. That's the UK's market for this crap. But it's not just the energy drinks with children. No, there's other people with children and youth in their sight. And it's not just big businesses. You look in any bin outside a school and it's loaded with energy drink bottles and chicken bones. These small independent corporations happily poisoning away. Fried chicken, three wings and chips, £1. We all know it, we all love it. And the kids definitely love it. Better than the enforced salad and pita you get from a school canteen. There's 7 chicken shops on my local school, by the local road by it. 7! 7! No pubs. 1 hairdressers. 4 off licences and 7 cheapo chicken shop stores. All with the same sign outside the windows, advertising special cheap deals for school students. Come 3:30, there are queues outside every single shop. Youth consuming grease. Or youth being consumed for profit by these greaseballs. You can sit and you can watch the chicken bones fall from the chubby fingers to the ground, where pigeons wrestle over the scraps. Pigeons picking the bones of their deep-fried cousins. And just look at that state of the pigeons. They're eating the same food that we're eating. And look at them, rotting, mangled, missing limbs, half-poisoned, death's door just there. When's the last time you saw a healthy pigeon? There are none, because they're eating what we're eating. But it's all of it, isn't it? It's not like you can get better food anywhere. All the supermarkets, rows and rows of steroid, pesticide-drenched, factory-sterilised, flash-frozen, cloned crap. It's Iceland poison or nothing. Iceland poison, well, nothing. £1 for 3 wings and chips. But even poisoning yourself from Iceland's out-of-date, dirty, stinking, rotten bin foods is now a crime. 3 men have been nicked under the 1824 Vagrancy Act, Section 4, for taking £33 worth of this poisonous food from an Iceland bin. £33 worth of food seems a little bit weird to me. Like, they were taking mushrooms and tomatoes and Mr. Kipling cakes. I'm guessing the £33 is the price that's on the food products. But as soon as you put the food in a bin, surely it's automatically devalued. I don't see how they can be done for £33 worth of stealing food from a bin. But then again, look at the law they've been done under. The vagrancy laws. They first came in 1349 after the Black Death, as a way of forcing people to keep working on their landlord's property, enforcing serfdom, not letting people flee off for a better life and higher wages elsewhere. The vagrancy laws stayed with us, though, as our state developed the poor laws, the undeserving poor, the feckless, the drunks and the idle, or basically anyone wanting to live any form of alternative life to Elizabethan rigid psychotic religious society, was tortured under the vagrancy laws. They were used to force people into work. Your face could be burnt if you were a vagrant. They'd take a hot poker and burn you, giving you a vagrancy mark. It'd show that you were idle. And if you stayed idle, worse would happen. These laws, though, brutal and horrific. They weren't efficient enough for what the state wanted. The vagrancy laws were combined in the 1824 Vagrancy Act. You see, after the Napoleonic Wars, you had this mass of demobilised troops. Napoleonic Wars, a lot of people in this country think are sharp, dashing around in the horrific desert, looking over, dating various people in ridiculous scenarios. But it wasn't like that. The Napoleonic Wars were brutal, horrific wastes of lives thrown away for the whims of generals, these idiots. The survivors returned to a ruined country, the economy smashed, mobs of hungry, angry soldiers covered the countryside. There was no homes for them, no work for them. Added to this was the growing urban poor, swelled by the Irish, the Scottish, the Welsh, moving, begging, nicking, surviving however they could. No masters for them, though. You know, they're surviving while they can, they're moving around, they don't necessarily have jobs, but they're keeping going in one of the worst societies you could imagine. It's utterly unacceptable to the lawmakers and people in charge. The 1824 Vagrancy Act made it illegal to beg, to sleep on the street, a month of hard labour for having no home. People thought that this law had died, it's gone away with the Magna Carta and the deportations to Australia. But no, the Met Force have been breathing life into it throughout the 1990s, using it to arrest the homeless of London once again. No government we've ever voted for enacted this law. Well, I say voted. No government that's ever been brought in to vote enacted this law. 1824 was before we were given the vote. Still now, you look now. Recession. Lose your job. Then your home. Lay your head on a paving slab and you bang. All the technology, all our knowledge, all our smugness, and most of London is still just one paycheck from being dragged back down to the 1824. More vagrants. The joke is, Iceland couldn't give a toss if people went through their bins. They're saying this to the police. The police have arrested these people on vagrancy laws of their own initiative. Iceland never made a single complaint about it. And lots of people do this, bin eating, to get by. It's mad how much is thrown away. Sainsbury's, Tesco's, all of them throw away vast amounts of goods in the bin every single night. And most of the stores don't cover the stock completely in bleach. Most of the people throwing the stuff in the bins are just your standard Sainsbury's or Tesco's workers. Sure, a few security guys might be psychotic, but most people think, if you're eating out of a bin, they don't care. It's the same look you get if you see someone shoplifting a little bit of, like, economy bacon from a co-op. People look at it and just feel a little bit sad that's even the case. It's not that sadness. People taking stuff out of bins, it actually even makes the current system slightly more efficient. There's less waste, less food rotting, more people fed. Win-win, right? But nah. You see, this is what the police are. The police see a person eating out of a bin. They don't question why good food is being thrown away. They don't question why this good food is in the bin. They don't even question why a person would have to eat from a bin. All they see is someone to nick. Three people to drag off. Christ. Robocop had more heart than these dirty pigs. Still, a few more cuts to police and maybe these officers will find themselves around the back halfway in an Iceland bin. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Ah, it's just come out that the theft charges have been dropped. But so what? It still stands. Let's look at this Section 4 of the 1824 Vagrancy Act. Every person committing any of the offences, being an idle and disorderly person, every person lodging in any barn or outhouse or deserted or unoccupied building or in any open air or under a tent or in any cart or wagon and not giving a good account of himself, well, blah, 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 the account goes on. But sod this, we should demand a repeal of the Vagrancy Act. There's people being nicked for this law made in 1824, which has nothing to do with our society today, and the Met Police are going around dragging people off into the night for it. Sod this. Still, now for a few tunes from Ryan Harvey's track 3 of his brilliant CD, Can't Turn Back Time.
Walking in lines with taser guns, wooden batons are trying to keep you scared. With violent attacks, you know it all comes down to how you react. And now you're face to face, seeing it all. Disperse the warnings and making the call. They got busted to pack with people like you. And they did that in the 50s, the movement grew. Young student, new to the game, movement elder, fan of the flames. Combat veteran, seen it before. Same tactics used in the foreign war. Final warning, you're keeping your ground. Committed people sitting all around. Through the bullhorn, it's all distorted. You can't leave now. Shakes, friend of mine, even if your voice shakes, push forward, it's up to you, see it through. And the silence breaks, voices are loud, rubber bullets crack, pierce the crowd, heart starts pumping, scared but proud, because there's people still sitting in the tear gas cloud. The line advances, they're swinging sticks, hear the marching boots and the taser clicks, screaming erupts, someone got struck, people calling for a medic, they better hurry up, now the vomit comes like a flood, getting choked by the gas, hands covered in blood, bruised and beaten, limping away, remember it's always been this way, they'll beat you down, show you the guns, it gets violent sometimes, and then change comes, you stand firm, organize, and then come back, for there's too many people, for them to attack, you gotta hold the line, even if you're voice shakes, friend of mine. Even if your voice shakes, push forward, it's up to you. See it through. When something clicks, when you're confused, tired, and scared as shit, but your body's alive with that heartfelt drive, and you engage the problem right before you arrive. When you could've ran, but just stayed inside. When you were beaten and gassed, and you still came back. That feeling, a power that you got deep down, rising to the top. When you get beat down, there's a world to win. When your heart is strong and a dozen new wrongs to focus on, every day brings a vision to strive for, something to live and die for. When you go back home and you're on your own, it's easy to feel like you're all alone, but it's through memory and hope that we stay supported. Cause quit now, we can't afford it, hold the line. Even if your voice shakes, friend of mine, even if your voice shakes, push forward, it's up to you, see it through.
Strikes are back on the tube next week, and good on them, up the RMT. I hope they win. I want to talk to someone when a machine eats all my Oyster card at a station money. Or I get fined for an imaginary incomplete journey. I want to be able to go to a ticket booth and actually engage with a human and talk about what's gone wrong. I do not want to go up and deal with some prick from Amazon. When the RMT will obviously sadly lose this battle and all the stations are turned into these mini Westfields, I'm going to give in. I'm going to chuck the books and books I read on the way to work and become another knob with blaring headphones. The lack of station staff is bad enough, but it's a replacement with even more adverts coming in. Every space on every train and every station is an advert. It's a sensory overload. Still, I only have to deal with it for 2 hours a day. The staff trapped in the platforms or on the trains are the ones I feel bad for. It must be like working in an Argos catalogue. Never-ending flashing pictures, saying nothing, swaying in front of your face. Maybe that's why the staff have all gone mad on announcements. Their constant desire to apologise for everything. There is a train ahead, sorry for the delay. And then they just never shut up, do they? They never leave it at that. They have to add, please take your belongings. Please tap in and tap out. In adverse weather conditions. After 5 minutes of this madness, of this drivel, they finally stop. Only for an automated voice, to repeat it all over again. I had a DLR journey to work today, with the entire 20-minute trip being used as a personal radio service for this nutter in charge of the announcement service. So please, please, RMT, I support you. Stop the selling off of ticket booths. No more messages. No more at all. Please, I can't handle another single advert or mad person rambling onto me on my way in the morning to work. A very funny little rant. God. I felt sick the other day. I saw an old pub. Gone. Now an empty office. It wasn't a good pub. Well, it had its moments. It was the two halves. It was a big space. Darts, pools tables, Sky Sports, lager, loads of loudmouths. No matter when you went in, there was always one toilet that was broken. And despite it being broken, someone always took a dump in it. And then people would keep using it till it was full of piss, and the piss all spilled over the side, and you couldn't walk into the gents without your shoes splashing in it. I really hated this pub, actually. There was so much mouth in it, so much aggression. You couldn't do anything without people going off on one. But it was used. Always a crowd, mostly barred from other pubs, or there were migrants from other closed down but local boozers, just enjoying a drink near their home. I was once there for one of their karaoke nights. It was on in the day. It was a proper set though. Big speakers, the works. The adults weren't interested, but someone's kiddies were in and they started singing. First few songs were pretty naff, but they were sweet. Then this young woman, maybe like 8 or 9, she took up the mic and she started letting out this tune. Sounded a bit like something angelic. The whole pub stopped and it just enjoyed the music. The kid went red when she realised everyone was listening, but she just kept bellowing out this melody. When she was done, there was this massive round of applause. Cuddles from her mum, everyone was cheered. I felt such class pride then. Not for this drinking hole, but for a space where a working class child could be cheered up by her community. She could be cheered on, clapped, given a little bit of ego, you know, supported a bit in her way. And we don't get that in many places. And where you do, well, they just can't compete with Office Space. Space like the Shard. The Shard, where the 10, 50 million pound apartments still stand empty. Where the Sharing La Hotel is yet to have a single guest stay. And the Shard, where in its 25 floors of office space has only one tenant. I hate it. I hate this Shard, and I hate the office that this pub has come. It was a rubbish pub, but I'd tear down every single brick and every single pane of glass just to have something useful like a horrible pub again. That's me kind of done. Today's show's been a little bit down. I had a bit of sad news before I came out of here. A friend of mine from a number of years ago has passed away. He was a pretty funny person. I remember him coming down, fighting at the G20 against the banks. And I remember him coming down and having to run away from the police after he tried to pull off a ridiculously ingenious way of liberating alcohol. He was a good person. And Dan, keep up the fight. But now we're going to finish off with JD's music. Good night.
Through the best of times, through the worst of times, through Nixon and through Bush. Do you remember 36? We went our separate ways. You fought for Stalin, I fought for freedom. You believe in authority, I believe in myself. I'm a Molotov cocktail, you don't parry. Yo, baby, what's that confused look in your eyes? What I'm trying to say is that I burn down buildings while you sit on a shelf inside of them. You call the cops on the looters and pie throwers. They call it class war, I call it co-conspirators. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone, all alone. Watched in awe at the red, white, and blue on the 4th of July. While those fireworks were exploding, I was burning, that swinging my black flag, hiding the peanuts that the parties have tossed you in the backseat of your father's new Ford. You believe in the ballot, you believe in reform, you have faith in the elephant and jackass. And to you, solidarity's a four-letter word, we're all hypocrites. But you're a patriot, you thought I was only joking when I screamed kill Whitey at the top of my lungs, at the cops in their cars and the men in their suits. No, I won't take your hand and marry the state. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that star, you left me all alone, all alone.
Why should I listen to Resonance?
It's food for you.
What does it do?
Everything the other radios don't.
What kind of everything?
Diverse programs, all kinds of music, international magazines. You can learn at the Free University. Catch up using podcasts, share your views on the Resonance forum, and if you think it's any good, support Resonance, tell your friends, wear the Resonance t-shirt. It's available along with all kinds of music and literature at the Resonance online shop. Donate if you want.
Where can I find this Resonance?
Resonance 104.4 FM.